In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're all very familiar with this parable of the publican and the Pharisee. We know how our Lord tells us that there are two men, one, the Pharisee, who considers himself to be righteous. And in his thought that he's righteous, he's very boastful, and he's led to judge his brothers and his sisters and to condemn them, to despise them. The other man, the publican or tax collector, is very sinful, and he knows that he's sinful. And in his knowledge of his sinfulness, he's contrite, he's brokenhearted, and he humbles himself before God. And our Lord says that we should follow the example of this one, the tax collector, and not of the other one. Our Lord tells this parable for a specific reason, according to St. Luke. He makes this note in the Gospel. He says, "The Lord told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now, we may be tempted to believe that our Lord isn't exactly speaking to us. We say, we're not constantly going around and judging others. Many of us would recognize that we do judge others all the time. But perhaps we have this thought: I'm not constantly judging other people. I'm hopefully not as blatantly hypocritical as this Pharisee. And I'm also not as extreme in my humility as the publican. So I think I'm somewhere in between, somewhere in the middle. But brothers and sisters, it's a delusion to think that we can be somewhere in the middle. Because at every given moment of our life, we have to make the choice between exactly these two options: either to follow the example of the Pharisee or to follow the example of the publican. At any given moment, we're either full of ourselves, boastful, and therefore looking down on others, judging others, or we're recognizing our own brokenness and weakness and sinfulness and our need for God's grace, and therefore we're not judging others. Either we recognize our need for Christ or we don't. And most of us, I think, we fluctuate between these two. We fluctuate. Maybe we spend a lot of time in one mode, the mode of the Pharisee, but at least we have moments where we recognize our brokenness and our need for Christ. And so we either, therefore, fixate on the shortcomings of others and despise them, or we don't, because we see our own sin as really like a mountain, and when we look at other people, it's like a molehill compared to our mountain. But our culture constantly pushes us in the direction of the Pharisee, constantly. It's in the media, it's in social media, it's everything on the internet, you know? Constantly to look at what other people are doing. Constantly to compare ourselves with other people and to see ourselves as better. Because you see the disgusting person, the disgusting thing that that person is doing, and you say, at least I'm not like that. I don't do that. You know, I'm not that bad. And so then we feel better about ourselves. But it's a false kind of glorying, a false kind of feeling good about ourselves when we do that. St. Anthony the Great, you know, the father of Orthodox monasticism, one of the holiest and most famous of the saints, he once asked God to show him how it was possible for people to live righteous lives in the world. Now, he's left the world, he's gone out into the desert, he's been there for decades. He's living an incredibly holy life. But he had an idea, like, maybe it's really only possible to live a holy life out here in the desert, and the people in the world, they can't live this kind of life. So he asked the Lord, how is it possible for people to live righteously in the world? And so he heard the Lord's voice telling him, go into the city and go to this particular place, to the shop of this cobbler. You know, he's a shoemaker, shoesmith, you know, somebody who works on shoes. And so Anthony obediently went, and he found the cobbler. And he went to the cobbler, and he said, hello, Tell me what kind of life you live. God has sent me to learn from you. And the cobbler was flabbergasted. He said, Father, you're living a holy life. I'm a sinful, wretched man. He said, I'm ignorant. I'm even illiterate. You know, how can you learn something from me? And Anthony said, no, the Lord sent me to you. I want you to tell me about your life. How do you live? He said, I just do my work. I fix people's shoes. I take care of my family. What? There's nothing special. He said, but, you know, as you're doing your work, what are you thinking? He said, oh, well, I see all the people walking by in the street, and I constantly think to myself that all shall be saved. Every person I see, everyone, will receive the kingdom of heaven, and I alone shall perish. Only I will be lost. All shall be saved, and I alone shall perish. And this was the thought of the cobbler, which when Anthony heard that thought that this cobbler lived with, he was amazed. He was stunned. And he recognized that this man had a deeper kind of holiness than he had yet fathomed, that he had yet perceived. And so he was edified by this. Now we might think that this thought is a heavy thought, or a difficult thought, or a painful thought to have, to feel like all shall be saved. In other words, this cobbler saw himself as beneath everyone else in terms of righteousness, that everybody else was more righteous and more worthy of the kingdom of heaven than he himself was, because he saw the dark stains on his own soul. We might think that this is something that would cause us to be depressed, but it's actually the opposite is the case. When we have this kind of vision, it's transformative. And brothers and sisters, it might seem like beyond us to think that way. But don't think that. Ask the Lord to give you that vision of the world. Ask the Lord to change your heart so you do see other people that way. You can ask for it. And God might grant you at least a glimpse. And if you have even a glimpse of that reality, it will break your heart. And you'll weep tears of sorrow for your own sinfulness, but at the same time, joy. And you won't be, you'll on the one hand see yourself as being deserving of hell, but you'll experience the joy of paradise, really, because it's the most wonderful thing in the world to experience true humility, really. Just even a tiniest little glimpse will change your life. So St. John Climacus tells us that humility has the power to destroy the passions. Really. So when we have this humility, the other passions in us, all the various passions in us, starting with pride, but everything else as well, is gradually eradicated. And this is why the Holy Fathers said that this was a more lofty spiritual state to be in, even than those who constantly remember God. You know, ceaseless prayer. Yes, we want to have ceaseless prayer, but to see yourself at the same time as being unworthy to even, take off the shoes and wash the feet of all the other people in the world. This is the most lofty spiritual perspective. This is the way of life that we want to seek to acquire. And so St. John Climacus and all of the fathers teach us to seek humility with all our hearts. And St. John Climacus says again that if pride alone caused the fallen angels to fall from heaven and become demons, humility alone might raise us up all the way to heaven. So may we repudiate the way of the Pharisee, which would cause us to constantly fixate on the sins of others and to see ourselves as being better than them and to despise them. And instead, may we follow the path of humility exemplified by this publican in the Lord's parable and exemplified by all of the saints. Through the prayers of the saints, may God grant us the gift of true humility that we might truly glorify our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.